7:32, so we will call our meeting to order, and we'll catch up when she gets here. We'll call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green, soon to be here. Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Okay, almost all present and accounted for. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented?
Move to adopt as presented.
Second. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. In-person absentee voting begins July 28th, and the election is August 11th. Debbie, when is the last day to request an absentee vote? Ballot?
The last day to request an absentee ballot by mail is the Thursday before the election. I'm sorry, I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Okay. Okay. Any other announcements from trustees? Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Lynn.
She's connecting. Any other announcements from trustees? Any other announcements from staff? Any exciting announcements from the Parks Department? Come on, Chris.
I had to unmute myself. President Rafter is referring to the fact that the pickleball courts at Kiwanis Park are almost open. All they have to do is paint the courts, which should be finished by the end of this week. And then we can get the hosts and nets back up. And hopefully we'll be good to go by the weekend, if not the beginning of next week.
Cool. Good job. Okay, Lynn, are you with us? Connecting to audio. Okay. Lynn, are you there? Okay. Moving on to number four, we received some public comment regarding one of our agenda items, the discussion on requiring masks, so we'll hold off reading those into the record until we're on that item. Were there any other public comments that we received?
I did not receive any others than the two regarding the masks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Lynn, can you hear us?
Hello.
Okay. Moving on to new business, item number five, action regarding ordinance 2020-04, amending section 345-1, definitions, and 345-3A, unsightly growth of chapter 345, proper maintenance of the Village of Alloway Municipal Code. Trevor.
I'll actually have Mike cover this one. However, I did speak with Lynn right before the meeting. In case he is not able to connect, she might be connected now.
Hold on a second. Who is joined and whose number ends in 5086? Someone join with the number 362-5086. Okay. Who ends in 1375? Is that Mike?
That's Mike. That's me. Yes.
And Lynn, are you there now?
1375 is me.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, Mike, we'll let you go.
Did you want me on this?
Yes, please. Tell us what this is about.
Okay. Trevor and I, we've had this discussion because our property maintenance on vacant lots, we actually didn't have anything written on the situation. And we have roughly six lots that are half acre or more. And we wanted to get something set so that we could notify them of what our village ordinance would be. And mainly what it comes down to, as you see it, any vacant lot, half an acre or more, will need to cut a 20-foot strip around each border of their lot and maintain that without any cut grass remaining laying on the field. Mainly for this reason is that if they get it long, they cut it, looks like a hay field, and the problem is the rodents still have a place to start before they get into the surrounding residence.
Why did you choose the 20 feet area?
The 20 feet is because that is what our parks, streets do when they do the village slots. So we felt it would be maintained the same as the village. And that way everybody is in the same category.
Okay. Okay. So you're asking us, you're looking for a motion to approve the new ordinance.
We would like to make one change. Section 345-3, subsection A2.
Yeah.
We would like to change that fourth line down where it says from the right-of-way and from adjacent residential uses. We just want to simplify that and say from the property line. That way it includes all properties.
Okay. So it'd say from the property line. Okay, so it says from the property line to a height of over 7 inches.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions for these guys?
So there hasn't been any significant issues. We're just kind of cleaning up the verbiage.
The question, Mike, was, have we experienced any problems, or are we just cleaning up the verbiage?
We have experienced some problems with a couple of the lots where they were not maintaining it from the beginning of the year. And then once it got long enough that we were getting complaints and I would find it, that was part of the reason we used to just say, you know, cut the certain strip. Now we want to get it centralized for all. And I do plan, if the ordinance is passed, to send a letter to each one of these owners of these lots and informing them of the new ordinance. And so that you'll know that for sure by next year we will be enforcing it.
Is there a reason we don't make the ordinance 7 inches everywhere outside of just a 20-foot swath?
Well, the 7 inches is what our ordinance states for residential grass.
Right.
We can't do anything for anybody who grows, has their grass. If it's under 7 inches, we cannot make them cut it.
Right.
So that's the same for the rest.
Yeah, my question is, why wouldn't we make them do the entire property versus just feet around the property?
Well, mainly it's been practice that we have with most of the lots, and the fact that the village doesn't cut all the lots where they have it. So it's mainly just to keep it uniform with everybody else. And some of these lots, there's quite large lots, or over a half an acre. And it's just the fact that this way, if they're along the roadway, it keeps our site triangle clear, and it keeps the distance for people who complain along Riverside in case they don't have enough space to see deer before they can react.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. I'll accept the motion on this item.
So moved.
Trustee Sampson. Do I have a second?
Second, then.
Trustee Harris, thank you. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve with the fixed language of just saying from the property line to the height of 7 inches. And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Do we have Trustee Green on the horn now?
Second.
Okay. Moving on. Item number six, action regarding authorization to purchase kayak launches. Mr. Clark.
Yes, this is an item that we had in our capital improvement budget for 2020, recommendation from our Park and Rec Department. We were able to acquire two grants for this project, both in the amount of $28,650, which will cover about 99.9% of the cost of purchasing the kayak launches, which would go, one will be at Green Isle Park and the other will be at Kayakers Point at the end of West Lazard Street. So virtually totally funded through grant monies through the state of Wisconsin as well as the federal government. So we're looking for authorization to go ahead and get that purchased, and so we can get those in yet this year.
Oh, cool. Any discussion, or do I have a motion on this item?
I move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second? Trustee Dart. I have a question, Chris.
Yes.
I saw the pictures of it. How does it work for when people want to get out? Do they just float the kayak onto the thing and get out?
Yeah, they paddle the kayak right back up onto the launch site. It's got some rollers on it, so it allows easy on and off. And then they're able to, if they are mobility challenged, they're able to lift themselves off onto the seats as it shows into the picture.
Okay. Any other discussion or comments?
Simple. Does all of it have to be removed each fall for the winter season?
Yes. Typically, we would take those out annually for the winter. Yes.
Okay. Do we store them on site or do we haul them somewhere?
We could do both. At Green Isle Park, we could probably likely store them right there on site. Kayakers Point, we may relocate them just because that location is also used in the wintertime, I know, by ice fishermen. Okay. So we would probably want to make as much room available at that location as possible.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Lynn, are you with us?
I am. Can you guys hear me? Because I didn't hear you finally.
We can. Welcome.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. This is what I get for running into you this week saying it worked just fine.
Okay, moving on to action item number 7 from the Public Works Committee minutes from July 15th, 2020. 7A, Capital Improvement Plan. Mr. Jean.
President Rafter, can you bring up the capital improvement plan?
I guess I can. That's going to be hard to see, but let me, you start talking, I'll bring it up.
Sure. You'll have a copy of the five-year capital improvement plan. Up at the top, we have three maintenance projects listed. Those would be the resurfacing and rehabilitation projects. Below that, we have the street utility reconstruction projects. Those are projects that we undertake every other year. I do want to point out, for these street improvement projects, main focus is on next year. The projects listed under years 2022 through 2025 are just the best guess and very fluid. Street projects listed underneath those years are subject to change. This is a working document. Every year will be further evaluated and be updated. Off to the right, I've included a list of streets for both the maintenance and reconstruction projects, and I think what you'll see over the next couple of years, I think a number of those streets that are listed off to the right will be inserted into the capital improvement plan, and your projects currently won't get moved out. Want to focus on next year. Listed under next year's street maintenance projects, we have St. Mary's Boulevard. This year we have taken on the west half of St. Mary's, and next year we're proposing to rehabilitate the east half, which includes sanitary sewer improvements, sewer lining, and placement of laterals. The cost of which I'm proposing to be bonded for. The street maintenance would be paid for by a public works operating budget. Rosemont Drive. This year we had resurfaced Stanton and Arbor Lane. It's our intent to rehabilitate Rosemont, which is adjacent to Arbor and near Stanton Court. Next year, we're proposing to resurface Culp Street from Webster Avenue to Libel Street. Reconstruction projects. We're hopefully soon be starting the design of those street reconstruction projects. It includes Beaumont Street from Green to Mission. It would include removal and replacement of the underground infrastructure, storm sewer, water main, sanitary sewer. Also on that list is Culp Street from Libel East to the Termini. That would include removal and replacement of the sanitary sewer and installation of a 24-inch storm sewer pipe. The existing water main would remain. Roselawn Boulevard. We're proposing to reconstruct Roselawn Boulevard in two phases because of the length and the center island or the median. That median adds to the cost of the project. So we're proposing to do that in phases under next year's reconstruction project and then finish the project in 2023. I do want to point out, Because of the location of the sanitary sewer and the existing islands with mature trees, we're going to televise all of the underground infrastructure, I guess with the exception of the water main. We'll be looking to see if we can the sanitary sewer for a couple of reasons. One, to reduce the impacts on the mature trees that currently exist in the median, and to lower the cost of the project. The overall estimated cost for next year's reconstruction project is estimated at $3.5 million. Below that,
what's the figure, Sean?
$3.5 million.
Thank you.
Below that, I've listed stormwater
projects. I don't have any listed in this plan, other than I did want to point out this year we're going to be reconstructing the Bethel Baptist Pond. That pond project will start early in August, pre-construction meeting Thursday of this week. Parks improvement projects, Chris has taken on a parking lot project at Green Isle Park. He'll be implementing that project over the course of this year and I believe next year, with the focus this year being on the parking lots themselves. When that has been completed, then come in and improve the driveway or street through the park. Chris, do you have anything to add on that?
No, that is correct. Yeah, next year's part of the project is the roadway portion through the park.
Okay. Below that, then I've listed the DOT. To assist with a number of projects, the Doty Safe Route to School project, which is currently being designed, planned to be constructed in 2022. This year, we'll be selecting a consultant to start the design of the Libel Street project. That project extends from 172 North to Culb Street, with the bulk of the design being the design starting in 2021 with that taking place in 2021 and 2022. 2023 will be acquiring any right-of-way that we need for that project. That project's planned to be constructed in 2024. Down at the bottom, as mentioned earlier, these projects are going to be funded, our maintenance projects are being funded by the Public Works paving budget and a reconstruct DOT projects are being funded by bond name. In 2021, we have an estimated bond cost of $4.7 million. I know that's a little higher than what we probably higher than we desire. We'll be starting the budget process soon, and as we work through the budget, there may be changes to this plan. This is a working document, and we may have to come back and revise it. Down at the bottom, I provided some notes, and off to the side, provided the PASER rating. And I did provide the PASER ratings of the streets listed under the reconstruction projects. Are there any questions?
I have one comment for the document. As you mentioned, it's a working document. So I would put something down at the bottom just saying the capital improvement plan is subject to change at any time.
Okay.
It's a working document.
I'll make that number one under notes.
Okay.
In capital letters.
Yeah, I would make it.
Okay.
Yeah, you may put that even as a footnote to the report, but the comments I made at Public Works are we're going to have to really try and find ways to keep costs down for these projects. We don't know what we're heading into in terms of revenue generation or lack thereof. And so just like we did at St. Mary's, we found a way to probably reduce the cost of that project by half. So I would surely encourage you to really look at these and see what we can do to bring them down as much as possible.
We'll do it.
Don't have to do the complete reconstruct and get away with a sleeve or something like that.
Yeah, and definitely, the bond cost for next year, when we had estimated the cost of next year's reconstruction project, that was assuming a remove and replacement of the sanitary sewer underneath Roselawn Boulevard. So there is a significant cost savings by lining and we'll analyze that pipe after we've received the televising, and I'm hopeful that we can line it.
Great. Thank you. Anything else from you guys? So you're looking... I'm sorry?
I was just going to say the only other comment I would have is the ad hoc finance personnel committee will be going through the bonding, and we're looking all the way out to 2025.
Great. Okay, so you're looking for a motion to accept the five-year capital improvement plan in its current state?
Yes.
Okay. I will entertain such a motion.
You can have such a motion.
Thank you, Trustee Harris. Can I entertain a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item 7B, Claude Alloway Terrace parking restriction.
We were made aware of a safety issue on Claude Alloway Terrace, we had discussed it at the Public Works Committee meeting last week, and the issue being that when somebody's heading northbound on the outside lane on Riverside Drive and they want to turn right onto Alloway Terrace, as of right now, parking is not restricted on the south side. However, it is on the north side, but due to bushes and trees, it may be hard to see a car parked on the south side of the street, and a car coming down the hill to turn either south or north on Riverside Drive. And what has happened, a vehicle that is heading north wanting to turn right on an Alloway Terrace may not see a car heading westbound, and when they do it, they have to stop because there isn't enough room. It's a narrow street, 23 feet face of curb to face of curb. They end up coming to an abrupt stop, and it may leave the end of the vehicle out in the Riverside Drive, which poses a safety issue, possibility of rear end accident. There isn't a whole lot of traffic on Alloway Terrace. It's not a through street. Traffic volumes are extremely low. We want to work. We want to allow the people that live on the south side. We want to continue to allow them to park on the south side. And what we're proposing is to provide a little bit of storage. When somebody turns right off of Riverside Drive onto Claude Alloway Terrace. Room to maybe look ahead or get out of the way of a westbound car. So what we're proposing is to add a no parking restriction on the south side, 50 feet in length from the end of radius east, 50 feet. It would still allow the resident that lives on the south side to park in front of their home. Their lot is roughly 100 feet long. It would provide them 50 feet to park, and that would be enough room for roughly two vehicles.
Very good. Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Atwood, any discussion? I think it's a good idea. And I think you came up with a great solution for everyone. So we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item C, Engineering Services for 2021 Street and Utility Reconstruction Project.
In June, I put together the RFP for the engineering services for next year's reconstruction projects. We had received those early in July. We had received proposals, sent that out the four consulting firms, and we've received proposals from the four that we'd sent RFPs to. We'd sent an RFP to JT Engineering, Mead & Hunt, Ari Smith, and Robert E. Lee. Brad, Jeff, and myself had scored the proposals based on schedule, qualification, and scope. And Ari Smith had scored the highest, with Robert E. Lee being the second highest. There is quite a difference between the highest scoring proposal and the second highest in cost. I do want to mention that I have reached out to all of those that had provided proposals and provided them the scoring summary. And Ari Smith was a little surprised by the cost provided by the other three consultants, and has since revisited their number and lowered it to $89,900. Still, roughly speaking, a $16,500 difference between Robert E. Lee. But we, based on qualifications, based on a somewhat tight schedule and our availability, we're recommending that we move ahead or award the contract to Ari Smith. In the RFP itself, I had specifically asked for a detailed breakout of scope and cost by street, and Ari Smith was the only one that had provided that. They had broken out the scope as outlined in the RFP. They provided hours and costs for each street by plan sheet. I anticipate this plan set being 120 to 130 pages long. I mean, it consists of a title sheet, general note, typical sections, two for each street, construction details, in some cases applicable DOT street details, a utility plan, which is pretty detailed. The utility plan will include water main, sanitary sewer, and storm sewer information, plan and profile view, roadway profile, along with cross sections. My hope is that we're finishing this project end of December and it's being bid out in January. We know from experience that we're likely to get better unit prices if bid out early, compared to middle of March or early April. And I think they're best suited to meet the schedule in the RFP. There are always things that come up during design that we don't think of, that does take additional time, but I think this is more of a straightforward project than compared to 19. And so I think they're the most likely to meet the schedule, desired schedule, and less effort from us, obviously, because they had put together the 19 project. They do, in their proposal, they do have a good mix of experience, staff with a good mix of experience, both in transportation and municipal. But I do want to mention that all four consultants are capable of doing this project. With our current workload and desire to get this out early to get better prices, I'm suggesting Ari Smith. If you were to direct me to go with Robert E. Lee because of the difference in cost, I don't have an issue with that. I just can't guarantee. I'm not going to guarantee that any of these consultants are going to hit the deadline, but Ari Smith is the most likely to do that. Obviously, we'll work our tails off to meet the deadline. I just think they're the most capable of meeting the deadline, and with our limited availability, to get this work done.
Don, why don't you go into that a little bit? You talked during the Public Works meeting about the projects that Jeff's responsible for, and he's
sure.
the one who would have to help any contractor through some of the things.
I had listed that somewhere. I do have...
Hold on a second. While he's looking for that, he also mentioned that because of the contractor's work with us back in 2019, he knows our standards, they know what we're expecting, and so they should require less effort from our staff, less assistance.
Yeah.
And then, why don't you talk about Jeff?
Yeah, I do want to point out one other thing. As we progressed through the 19 reconstruction plans, we didn't encounter any plan errors that resulted in any change orders. That's big. Not only that, the plans were well received by the contractors. I didn't get a chance to talk to them after the 2019 season, but I did call them after we had gotten the results for the engineering services, and I talked to Todd Dorner Inc., and said nothing but good things about our plans, and that's what we want. We want contractors, we want to keep the plans as clean and simple as possible, readable to the contractor, and he had indicated he hopes he gets the 2021 project. I hope that's the case. I hope we have because of that, I hope we gain a lot of interest, local contractors. Workload. Upcoming workload. We, our street resurfacing project, for the most part, is wrapping up. However, in St. Mary Street, we will be starting the lining of the sanitary sewer. That work to be completed in August. And Jeff will be overseeing that project. When that has been completed, then we're going to be pipe bursting the 26 or 27 sewer laterals on that same segment of street. There's a means at which to get that work completed. You want to first line the sanitary sewer, and then you want to replace the laterals. The laterals will be replaced in September. And then St. Mary's, the paving of St. Mary's will be completed, a final layer of asphalt. We put down in October, along with the restoration of landscape areas and curb and gutter repair. We'll be starting the Bethel Baptist Pond project soon, early August, and that will extend probably early part of October. That's a fairly large project. Pond will be excavated first.
I'm sorry. The more hands off we can be on a contract like this,
yes,
and
at the same time, we're going to be working to finalize the Doty Safe Route to School sidewalk plans, along with we're going to be putting together the plans for next year's street resurfacing project. We want to get that out as early as we did this year. So on top of, we're going to be trying to hopefully be hiring a consultant to help us with the Libel Street project, and hopefully Topol is getting started at the end of this year. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. So you are looking for a motion to recommend or to approve R.A. Smith?
Yes.
Is that a fixed bid, or is that an estimate based on time and materials?
It's their estimate of what it's going to cost to get the work done. And I don't question it at all. They had broken it out in a lot of detail. We'd have to really overlook something to get a change order from them. That's a possibility that we may have overlooked something, but they provided a pretty detailed cost estimate of what it's going to take to get the work done.
Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion on this? Trustee Genrich.
I will move that we accept the bid from R.A. Smith, as indicated, 89.9, and go forward with the project.
Okay, do I have a second? Trustee Sampson, any discussion? Just to let Trustee Sampson know, and Rob, you're on mute, and Penny. Yes, Matthew.
So the scoring system and the looked at it, but also the Planning Commission, correct? Or Public Works, pardon me.
I'm sorry, Matthew, you cut out.
So the scoring system, along with the dollar figure differences, Public Works has also reviewed those figures, correct? I don't want to put it all on Sean.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. The percentage differences got my attention, but if everybody on Public Works is comfortable with it, then I'm good.
I sit on Public Works, and I was concerned with the cost change, but I was comfortable based on Sean's explanation that they have experience with our projects that will require less effort from our staff, and our staff really doesn't have the time to provide that. And we've experienced in our last round of bids that if we get them out early, the costs come in much lower than they were the previous time. We hope that continues. I guess you never know. And then I told Sean, well, you know, I'll go with it. It's just your head. If it doesn't, you know.
No pressure.
Okay. No. But that, so yes, we did look at it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action number eight, or item number eight, action regarding sanitary sewer lining project bid results. Sean?
They have some great news.
You like great news.
We had quickly put out a contract to line the St. Mary's sanitary sewer. As you recall, we had this was a project that we had jointly bid with Green Bay. Unfortunately, due to the complexity of their project, they didn't get any bids. We put together a contract and got it out right away and made some phone calls. And the bid opening was Tuesday. Last week. We had received three bids. Vision Sewer was the low bidder at $50,980.80, which is roughly speaking $31.20 per foot to line the sanitary sewer. When we had budgeted for this, we were expecting a unit cost of somewhere between $35 and $40. And I think we got a good number under what we had budgeted, and I would recommend that we move ahead with Vicious Sewer.
Just out of interest, approximately, if we had to replace the sanitary sewer instead of line it, what kind of numbers would we be looking at?
Well, we paid $120 a foot. Under 19 reconstruction project. So.
Okay, nice. Okay, do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Dart, any discussion?
Nice going, Sean.
Yes.
Really, thank you.
That is good news.
Put that together.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9, code enforcement update. Mike, we can't hear you. Let me, hold on, I'm going to unmute you. Can you hear me now? Mike?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep, can.
All right, great, thank you. I just wanted to bring up, last year we passed the habitual homes for the code violations, as we did for the law enforcement. And at this point right now, I've just notified one owner, and she will be receiving a letter that she will be the first habitual home that we will be issuing under the code ordinance. And once she gets that done, from then on, we will be not only making her continue to keep up with the home, but if we have to personally do it, we will also be adding a habitual traffic, habitual home violation on there also. With the pandemic and everything else, we really haven't had a lot of things that we were truly trying to enforce, just trying to educate most of the people and hope that they would comply. As of this summer, we're getting a continuous number of long grass complaints. Residents. Luckily, once I notify them, most of them have been very good at complying within the given time. And the only one that hasn't is the home that I'm going to be issuing a ticket on, and that's the only home that I have actually had to call and have our lawn people take care of. Reference to the other violations, when it came out, we spoke and had decided that I would continue to give out notices for, like, the brush, the bulk, other things that were done in the village, and, again, give the notices out, try to educate them, and hopefully that they would comply. Unfortunately, that has not been as well accepted as the grass notices. Most of them just continue to leave the stuff on the road, call and complain that I even left them a notice. And it just had been backing up. If you had a chance to drive around the village, you would have seen during the brush period, the bulk period, it was terrible out there. And we were not doing anything to enforce it at that time. Sitting down and speaking, we have decided that as of August 1st, we'll go back to our normal procedure, which I will give a notice. You'll have your number of hours that the notice tells them to comply. If not, we will then pick up the items or the brush or whatever it might be, and we will then bill them the maintenance price of the $200 so that they, we can get back to getting the village into a decent looking place. With that being said, all that is very good. I have started late June to issue our parking warning tickets for the street sweeping. It's hard getting to everything, and it's quite a lengthy procedure. This last Monday, on the Monday's garbage pickup, I issued 48 warnings, and I probably got half of the sections done. So I haven't even been able to get to the second half of the money group. Again, on Wednesday, June 24th, I issued out 36 warnings to the cars. And again, there was probably less than half of the area that I was able to complete. And then this last Thursday, on June 25th, again, I issued out 42 warnings on the vehicles and have not been able to complete the full section. Some of the time's taken because people are talking, asking why we're doing it, questioning it. try to explain to them, show them the information we have on the back of the wines. Other ones are just mad about it. What we have planned, have been trying to do, is I keep track of the license plates. They want me to give them each vehicle two warnings before I issue any actual parking tickets. So once that becomes the route, and the fact that I don't have any type of programs to really keep that down, I'm going to be doing it by hand, and things may get a little bit slower at that time. But that's the way the warnings have been going, and we'll just I'll just continue to try to get as much as I can with the time allotted, trying to hold on to the other calls in the village. Then that's all I have to report.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike? Thank you.
I think, personally speaking, I think one warning is sufficient. I mean, it seems like Mike's time is really being taxed to go up. That really, if we had just put out a notice to residents that on this particular day, don't park, you know, then citation should have been handed out. I mean, I don't know how many warnings we need to give somebody before they comply. And we're spending all of Mike's time covering only half of what he needs to cover to give two warnings for a citation. It seems like that time could be better spent by eliminating one of the warnings.
I don't disagree.
If I may,
go ahead. I'm done.
I was going to say, if I may interject, it was, you know, when we started the program, it was right in the middle of the pandemic, which is still going on, and just trying not to put an added stressor on residents and give them another reason to distrust their local government. So we're trying to educate the best we can to hopefully get compliance, and that's why we want the two.
Okie doke. Okay, well, I'm sure it'll be a fluid thing, and if you see people abusing it, hopefully you won't have to issue more than one warning, and hopefully people will start to comply. Okay, any other questions for Mike on that? Hearing none, thank you, Mike. And we will move on to item 10, regarding a discussion on requiring face masks. As you all know, Green Bay Hospitals put a call out to city leaders to adopt a mandatory mask ordinance. Green Bay is considering such an item tonight. I heard Brown County is considering such an item. But we wanted to bring this to the board for a discussion. There won't be any decision made tonight. But I will... I received several emails. I'll just read them real quickly. From Clarence Matuzik. And if I don't read every word, I'll get the idea across. But it says, I'm a little late. Maybe you can still use my comment for the meeting. Alloway Village Board, I firmly support mandating masks in public. Those who oppose this mandate are not, in my opinion, concerned with individual rights, but are just being selfish and irresponsible and don't really concern themselves with their fellow citizens. I personally think that universal use of masks has to help reduce the spread of the virus. Received another email from resident Mary Langhoff, and it says, I think it is prudent. Oh, the first one said, when is Alloway going to enact a masking ordinance? I responded saying, we will be just discussing that topic during our village board meeting this evening. Do you have any specific concerns or experience which made you uncomfortable in the Alloway business? She said, I think it is just prudent to do so. Today we hit a record. Not good. I'm elderly and have existing conditions, so my concern is rather high. I don't go out a lot,
Webster Market masks, as does CVS and Quick Trip. It is the other customers that often don't or socially distance always. And then from Jody Vendiver, to the Village Board, as a resident of Alloway, I support the passing of a mandate for wearing face masks in the Village that should include both private businesses and public places. It is time to follow the science, not the politics. And I know, Trustee Sampson, you wanted to talk about this and bring this up at the Village Board, so I'll let you start if you'd like to share your thoughts.
Well, I have questions, and I think there'd be no doubt that I would be in favor of at least a proclamation urging compliance. I have a question: if we do an ordinance, I don't know what is our capability to enforce it, and if it occurs in Alloway, occurs in a business, that there is a conflict that results in something that's strong enough for somebody to call the police or the Village, you know, that could very well fall under disorderly conduct or trespassing or something like that. So the more I've thought about this, and I should mention I did get one email, and I don't have it handy, but it was somebody I knew urging us along the same lines of some of those that you read, Jim, urging us to adopt an ordinance. I have that question, and I guess I, regardless of what Green Bay does, if theirs gets tabled tonight, I think we could go on record, either ordinance or a proclamation, urging compliance. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else have any thoughts on the matter? Penny.
Well, the president did say we should be wearing masks today.
Patriotic.
Just to be clear, the president of the United States, right?
The president of the United States, right. I'm just thinking, I don't know why people get so bent out of shape about it, because do you remember the days when you could go into a store or a gas station without shoes or a shirt? And then they put no shoes, no shirt, no service. I mean, it's a public safety thing, just like shoes and shirts. And it puzzles me. No shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service. It's puzzling to me why they would be so against that.
Well, and there are businesses that do say such a thing, right? If you want to come into our store or place of business, you wear a mask.
You know, to that point...
You can't go into a store without shoes, shirt, if you want service. So, I mean, didn't people complain about that when they had to put their shoes on?
Yeah, but the government didn't tell them that. The businesses have.
The businesses did, okay.
Rob, did you want to say something?
Yeah, this physician from Purveya made a good point this morning, or whenever it was that I saw the interview with him. He said there was a time in history that you could smoke on an airplane. Then it was only a section of the airplane, and then smoking on the airplane. Then it was you could smoke in public and at restaurants. And then there was a non-smoking section of a restaurant. And then they took that away, and they took away no smoking in public venues, because they really, truly had science behind them saying secondhand smoke was a hazard to other people. It's the same thing they're saying about this virus now and how masks can help keep that in check. So I thought it was a really good explanation by the doctor.
I agree. Does Alloway have, just using that, does Alloway have an ordinance on the books that doesn't allow for smoking in public places? Is that a state mandate?
In parks, you cannot vape or smoke.
Right, but is that
But is that an ordinance, or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Lynn. It, as a healthcare provider, I wish everybody had masks on. Everybody, across the board. Because this is like smoking, where we know the science is at this moment. Now that may change. However, my big question is, with all the other municipalities going on and the legal challenges, do we have a legal right to say that, or does that need to come from the county or the state? So, Brad, you've done a fantastic job at sending out information, and I have to tell you guys, if I'm putting on my healthcare provider hat on, I have one answer. If I'm thinking about this from
Lynn, we lost you. Lynn? Okay. Hopefully we'll get Lynn back. Any other thoughts on the issue? The one email that I received today that piqued my interest was the one that said there was a, you know, we broke another record today. And what I came to realize is we aren't legislating for Brown County or the state of Wisconsin. We're doing it for Alloway. And so I went and I took a look at numbers from the state for Brown County, going back to the day that they started counting, and then in Alloway. And because, as we've said many times, if we're doing an ordinance, putting in place an ordinance, it should fix a problem. And so we should have a problem. And I'm not saying I wear a mask when I go into public places, and I believe in that. I don't know that it is our place, or if we can't even legally mandate that our businesses do that. But when I look at Alloway, I see businesses that are actually practicing good, clean practices. They are, most of them that I've seen, and I'm talking retail and bars and restaurants, most of them, all their staff members are wearing. Most of them are asking their guests to. Today, Zambaldi said, if you want to come into our place of business, you need to wear a mask until you sit down. So I do think that the businesses in Alloway are doing a good job of practicing what they've been told, right? Social distancing, tables are split. I haven't seen any. They have outdoor dining, which we're helping the restaurants with. Both of the food stores, their staff are wearing masks. So when I looked at the numbers, Alloway, or Lake and Brown County, first of all, the record, if we set a record today, the we is Brown County. And in Brown County, it showed that there were 86 new cases today. Yesterday, there were 3 new cases. And the average is about 40. So something happened in the numbers when things got reported. So if you average those out, we didn't have a record day. But we are Brown County right now since the end of March. Brown County has been averaging 31 new cases a day. In the last 2 weeks, they've been averaging 37 cases a day. And that's across Brown County. Hospitalizations, both since March and over the last 2 weeks, have been at 1.7 per day and 1.9 per day. So in Alloway, since May 1st, we have averaged 1.0 new cases per day. That's when they started tracking Alloway. And on a weekly basis, starting in June, we averaged 1.3, 0.6, 1.7, 1.3, 2.1, and last week was 1.9. That represents 0.015% of our population, the people who are getting sick.
So my question, I don't know that we have a problem to solve in Alloway. I do, to Chris's point, I do wholeheartedly support some kind of promotion to our businesses to encourage them to do the same, to continue up doing the good work, because if things do get worse, if we legally can, we'd have to do something. I think Brown County is going to do something about it. I don't have any inside intelligence, but I would guess that they would. I think if we're going to do something as an area, that we should do it countywide, because people travel from one place to another. So that's my two cents. I think I was thinking when the pandemic started and we were talking to the businesses about grants and everything, we held virtual town halls. I'd love to do one of those again to get our businesses on board, see what kind of struggles they're having with dealing with COVID. How can we help them do that if we can? Because I haven't seen any business owner, first of all, I haven't seen anyone overflowing at businesses. They are back to normal. They're all hurting. And I think if we can continue to help them, I think we should.
Absolutely. So this is Lynn, and sorry for my connectivity issues tonight. I'm not sure where I left you guys.
Lynn, you said that wearing your healthcare provider hat, you would see it one way, and probably I read into it be very aggressive.
Okay, so as a village trustee, my biggest question is, do we have the legal authority to even do that? And then knowing the municipalities in the surrounding area, I would love to see this come from Brown County, because not everybody who goes into Alloway business comes from Alloway, and our municipalities are small enough that getting a unified effort on a countywide scale seems to make much more sense to me. And with the information that Brad has sent out, and I'm not a lawyer, but there's been legal challenges on individual municipalities doing this, whereas if the Brown County Health Department does it, it has a better footing. So here's where I'm at, though. Everybody should protect themselves, because this very much is like smoking. The science is evolving because we're early on in this pandemic. And so right now the best mechanism is to protect yourself, use a mask, and protect everybody else, because our problem is we have a certain amount of population that's not insignificant, that is asymptomatic. And so it could be me, it could be you, it could be Jim. We don't even look sick, but we could be spreading this. So to me, in ethical considerations, it's my duty to protect everybody else as well. That's my healthcare provider hat. As a village trustee, I'm glad this is on reporting only, because I would like to see more about what our legal footing is with this. And then I would encourage Brown County as a unified effort, because when you look at Green Bay and the greater municipal area, people cross municipal lines all the time. And if we have a patchwork of regulations, that's going to just cause more confusion. So I hope that made sense.
It did. Thank you.
Mr. President, could we, kind of following up on Lynn's point right there, could we make a strong recommendation to the county board? Now, I understand the meeting is tonight.
Tomorrow night.
The city council meeting tonight. Could we recommend to the county board that we would like them to make a countywide statement, mandate, whatever? Since individual municipalities will struggle to do this individually.
I don't know that we can, well, we can't take an official position on that tonight because this is under discussion, but we can certainly publish the minutes and share them. Or you can have a conversation, any of us can have a conversation with one of our county supervisors. We just can't take an official position on it. But, and I know one of our county supervisors, Joan Brusky, is leading the effort for wearing of masks across the county. I don't know if you folks knew or not, but I didn't. I learned this in doing this research that Alloway is broken out into 4 census tracts, mm-hmm. and they're using those census tracts for reporting across the state. Census tract 208, actually we have 5, including Green Bay Correctional Institution. But on the north, it is section 208, and then just to the south, like between, say, St. Joseph and 172 is 209, and then the southwest area from Webster to rivers to the river is 10, and then from Webster to the East River is 12. According to the state statistics, 0 cases have been reported at GBCI, so if those are accurate, that's good news. But if you start at the north, Section 208 has 29 cases today. 209, just south of it, has 26 cases today. The southwest area has 20, and the southeast area has 44. So it doubles any of them, which I found very interesting. There are no businesses, very few businesses there. But I was talking to Trustee Green, and part of that area are all the multi-tenant homes along East River Drive. And it's only an assumption, but that may, because a lot of those folks work in other places, and but our problem area, if you will, is somewhere in the southeast.
And the cases reported are reported to their home addresses, not their places of employment. So here's where crossing municipal lines happens all the time, not just for shopping, not just for vending, but for employment as well.
So, any other thoughts on this?
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, would I make a motion if I would have a request of the staff, village administrator, or President Rafter to draft a proclamation or a letter? Is that something I need to motion, or can I just go ahead and share my thoughts on that now?
You can share your thoughts, but we couldn't take action on it.
Okay. I interrupted you, Brad. Were you going to say something first?
Well, kind of going back to, Lynn, thank you for the compliment on all the information. I think one of the things that struck me the most was the email that was shared with the city of Janesville.
Mm-hmm.
And their struggles and what their thoughts are. And you know, we do not have our own health department. We rely on Brown County as our provider or agency. And I'm not going to try to play a lawyer, so Dan, you can have fun with this. But I too would agree that we would have a lot of issues trying to enforce an ordinance or establishing an ordinance with the wearing a mask, but countywide would make the most sense.
Going back to Chris, your question?
No, I was going to, for the record, offer the suggestion, and maybe it's a statement or the beginning of a proclamation that we could share with some of the citizens who weighed in, and also if you, Jim, get some media calls in the wake of whatever Green Bay does, that one, we discuss this, or that we discuss this issue, and one, we first want to commend what we see in Alloway businesses who've been apparently vigilant in following best practices. So we want to acknowledge that you know, I might not go as far as you explain confidentially to us that maybe it doesn't have a problem. That wouldn't read well as part of a public statement, but I know what you're saying. But just say that we think we're getting good citizen compliance, and especially our businesses. Two, we very much urge Alloway residents to follow the guidelines as shared by Dr. Roy or the healthcare people who have put out the recommendations for masking.
CDC.
CDC as well. And three, while there is interest in pursuing an ordinance among our board members, we feel that the best solution for our municipality would come from the county level because they have the health bureau component, but also it's more of a multi-jurisdiction solution that we think would work best, not us going it alone. So I don't know. I don't know if that's a statement or a proclamation or a consensus of the group, but I think hitting some of those issues would kind of best summarize what we're talking about.
Yep.
Yes. I don't know if we necessarily need the proclamation like Chris, but he summarized all the different things that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
That we are, as a group, I believe we're in favor of this type of approach. We believe our businesses are handling it well. We think that because we don't have a healthcare specialist on staff, and we rely on the county for that, we would continue to rely on the county.
Well, we haven't taken an official poll of all trustees and their feelings on the issues. So unless we have a vote or that, we shouldn't make a public statement to that effect. I'll tell you one thing. We don't need, first of all, Chris, you can surely work to draft a resolution such as that with staff and propose it. I think it would be safe to say that, well, we can't speak for the group because we haven't spoken as a group, but if anyone asked me, I would tell them that I'm excited to help our businesses continue to do what they are doing and do it even better, and to help our residents understand the importance of it. I think we can do a whole lot in that area, and when we did the roundtables before, we didn't have to have, staff can come up with all kinds of ideas and ways to get the word out. They don't need our support for that. I would hold town halls tomorrow for businesses if they come on board. So.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily advocating a proclamation. I was more asking if that would be appropriate. What you said, Jim, sounds, I agree with that, certainly.
Yeah. From all the comments I heard tonight from board members, we are all concerned for the health and well-being of our business owners and our residents. Aww. And not only Alloway, but area residents. And we should do everything we can. And yet, I have reservations about forcing a business to do that. So, especially when they're doing a good job. But, any other thoughts on that?
I just don't think at this point, and I'm not a lawyer, but when we're looking at the municipal level, I don't, and I'm looking at people crossing lines, I will help you with town hall meetings because Alwinians need to understand what their risks are. And if you're going in someplace where you don't feel comfortable, I want people to be empowered to leave. So here's where I struggle with our municipalities all being so small, is I really would love to see this come from Brown County because people don't stay here within municipal lines. So.
Well, you just signed up for a job, Lynn. Thank you.
Okay, I'm living this every day, so I will do that.
And you entertained Trustee Atwood when you said called us Alloweans.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw you acknowledge that.
I love to hear that word. Okay.
I was going to say, if you guys are, and I apologize, I'm saying you guys again. If you're asking for a legal opinion, man, I am not in a position to give that to you off the cuff. But if that's what you're asking, I'll go back and talk with Christina and see what we can find. I'm just telling you our business, our law firm, is strongly recommending. We're not mandating. And I would agree. I would think it's more proper to be coming from the county level than the individual municipalities.
Thank you. Any other thoughts on this matter? Let's hope the next time we get together, someone else is taking action, but we can certainly do things and will do things. I'll send out a note and we'll figure out a way to connect with our business owners. Okie doke. Another idea before we go on that is Facebook. We could do an alloy Facebook social media blast and boost it to alloy residents about how to stay safe, how alloy's doing well, but we need to do better, or we can do better. And when you're going into a place of business, please have a mask on.
Yes, and at least our places of business in Alloway that I've been have been doing an awesome job.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And I'd be the first one to leave if I felt uncomfortable.
Okay. Anything else on that? Good discussion. We'll move on to item number 11. Does anyone have any future agenda items we'd like to see? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 12. Can I have a motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, specifically potential real estate acquisition and or sale of property. Wisconsin Statute 1985-1C, considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance of evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed. Roll call. Trustee Genrich.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
Trustee Dart.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
President Rafter, aye. We are enclosed. Who from the